Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. And by Forge Bow, makers of great bows at affordable prices, available at more than 40 archery pro shops around Wisconsin. Call the Forge Bow Pro Shop in New Berlin at 414-732-7400 to find a dealer near you, or go on the web for more information at forgebow.com. I'm Dan Small, and I'm here with Jeff Kelman. Boy, we're fired up today. We're talking about deer hunting, and I'll bet you were out bow hunting, weren't you?
I was. I don't have much to talk about. It wasn't for the lack of seeing them as far as not being successful. I saw quite a few deer.
You saw deer.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And I even pulled back the bow a couple times. I could have had a shot at a yearling. I decided not to. Knowing my luck, it would have been a yearling buck, and who knows what he could have been in three years.
Right, yeah.
And then I had another doe come out, but I was sitting in my ground blind. She came out. She caught wary of the blind, but it wasn't until she was 20 yards away, standing broadside. But the way the blind comes down, they make these triangle windows.
Yeah.
She was standing right in the way of the fabric that comes down.
Oh, for crying out loud, yeah.
I had the bow pulled back, waiting for her to take two more steps out. I would have released the arrow, but she never did. So.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I'll have to try again.
I've got venison in the freezer.
Do you?
I do, but you know that story I wrote for Wisconsin Outdoor News on the roadkills?
It was a roadkill.
Well, it was 2 days later. I'm thinking, you know, I haven't bought my kit yet that I wrote about. That is my carrier and put my gloves and everything in the car. And sure enough, I see a lady hit a deer, and she didn't want it. And it's a long story because we had a trooper come and shoot the deer, and it wasn't dead yet, and so...
Well, we got a cool show today.
We do, yes. And we're talking with, speaking of deer, we're going to talk with Keith Warnke of the Department of Natural Resources about the earn a buck alternatives.
It's a hot topic right now.
Fact that there are hearings coming up. And we'll also talk with Sue Beiler of the DNR about a new invasive species, a red swamp crayfish from Louisiana found in Germantown. And we'll talk in our No Child Left Inside segment with John Hilmer. He's doing great things with kids over in the Baraboo area. And we have a winner from last week, the How to Field Dress a Deer DVD in about a minute. Mike Findley is the winner. Mike will be getting one out to you. And we've got a new giveaway this week, and actually a new sponsor, too. And Jeff and I are playing.
If you can guess the sound.
Yeah, it's this is not an electronic grunt tube. This is actually a Zip Vac, which is a portable battery-powered vacuum sealing device for food storage.
Yeah, for food storage. These will come in very handy.
And they sent us a couple to look at, and we're going to be giving away one of these kits. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get in on the drawing for the Zip Vac food storage kit, call 414-297-7554 and leave your name, phone number, and just say Zip Vac. 297-7554. Well, we got to move on to a break. We'll be back with the rest of the show right after this. Here's a tip to help you savor the flavor of wild foods. Sportsmen know nothing beats the fresh taste of wild game or fish. And now, thanks to Zip Vac's award-winning vacuum sealing system, your family can savor the flavor months longer by sealing out oxygen, the cause of flavor-robbing freezer burn. Just place the food in the bag, zip it shut, twist open the valve, remove the excess air with either the manual or rechargeable pump. Close the valve and put your Zip Vac protected wild game in the freezer. It's that easy and that fast. The bags come in four sizes. They're freezable, microwavable, boilable, and they're dishwasher safe. Not only are they reusable, they cost less than the competition. How good is Zip Vac? The International Tackle Trade Show picked Zip Vac for the Best Fishing Accessory Award, and editors all over the country have been raving about Zip Vac as the best of the best new products for outdoorsmen. Get the complete story at zipvac.net. That's zipvac.net, ZIPVAC.net.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of LakeLink's features are yours to use free of charge. Members get access to LakeLink's online map library that lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and much more. Sign up now till September 30th to win Packer Cowboy tickets with the Chevy Prize Hall giveaway. Outdoors radio listeners can save $5 on a new or renewal membership. Simply enter promo code DAN when you set up your membership account. You can listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link, listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up. Just type in keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today.
Dan Small here for Wilderness Scout Hydrojet-powered canoes. I can't afford to be up a creek without a paddle, so I run a Hydrojet canoe by Wilderness Scout. Powered by a clean-burning four-stroke engine, it cruises at 6 to 8 miles an hour for 5 hours on a gallon of gas. You saw the Wilderness Scout at all the winter sports shows. Now try one on the water. With the jet-powered Wilderness Scout, paddling is optional. Order online at northernwatersltd.com or call Brad at 920-467-3663.
Cedar Creek Motorsports, get out for adventure.
At Cedar Creek Motorsports, the time's right for a Honda model year-end event. Right now, we've got great deals on every Honda in our showroom, especially ATVs. Like an 07 Rancher 420 ES with fuel injection and electric shift. MSRP was $46.99, but you can get yours today for an incredible $32.99. Get Honda, best on earth, and our low price guarantee during the Honda model year-end event at Cedar Creek Motorsports, Highway 60 in Cedarburg. I recommend ATVs only for under 16 years old. All ATV riders take a training course.
Looking for a place to hunt? Roger B's Hunter's Guide covers all of Wisconsin in 10 volumes with the detailed maps that show all federal, state, and county land open to hunting, plus private land open to hunting under the forest crop law. Find land where you can hunt deer, turkeys, or small game this season. DanSmallOutdoors.com has the best price you'll find anywhere on Hunter's Guides. That's DanSmallOutdoors.com. Click on Dan Small to order your Hunter's Guide today and find land where you can hunt this season.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small, and our show today is brought to you by Ironclads, the soft bait revolution. Soft plastic baits that act natural and won't come off the hook. On the web at buyironclads.com. And joining us now is Sue Beiler, who is Southeast District DNR Fisheries Supervisor. We've talked to Sue before, and I've been out on lakes with her doing TV shows. Sue, how are you today?
I'm just fine, Dan.
Well, that's great. You know, Jeff and I earlier in the show were talking about this new invasive critter, Louisiana, what is it, the red swamp crayfish?
That's correct.
Yeah, and boy, it's a nasty-looking thing.
Yes, it is.
Where now, it's been found in one location in Washington County, right?
That's correct. It's been found in Germantown.
Okay, and where exactly?
It's in a pond in the Esquire Estate subdivision in the village of Germantown.
Okay. And how big is it? What is it? Why is it a problem?
Well, the red swamp crayfish is native to the Gulf Coast area of the United States and even into parts of extreme southern Illinois.
Mm.
But it is not native to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And it... It's a very large crayfish compared to most of our natives. If you measure it tip to tail, tip of the claw to the tail, we've seen individuals as large as 8 inches, whereas most of our crayfish are going to be a couple of inches at least smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a relatively large crayfish. And it has a habit of burrowing. And that's one of the problems with the red swamp crayfish. It burrows into the shoreline of the ponds or lakes that it's in, and it can cause a lot of damage to the shoreline. It's also damaging to the aquatic plant beds in that it'll clip off and eat the aquatic plants. And it also tends to be very prolific as far as its reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And can displace or outcompete our native crayfish species.
Uh-huh. It sounds like it does some of the same kind of damage that muskrats do in ponds, burrowing and eating a lot of vegetation.
Yes, that's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what about its impact on fish or other aquatic species?
Well, it will prey on or eat the eggs of fish, of amphibians, frogs, and such. And also it tends to degrade the habitat of fish by getting rid of the plant beds and also releasing the nutrients from its burrowing activities.
Mm-hmm.
So it can tend to get rid of the plants and increase the eutrophication of a pond.
Now, if it's a southern critter, can it survive our winters?
Yes, it can. Uh-huh. It burrows underground, and it will survive the winter in those burrows.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have seen crayfish burrows. Do we have burrowing crayfish in this state? I can't remember if I've seen them here or elsewhere in my travels.
I am not as familiar with our native crayfish as I probably should be and will become. I don't believe our crayfish burrow. At least I have not seen them burrow.
Okay. I've seen them then in southern states, and it must be this creature then. They create a kind of a chimney, a mud chimney, right next to the shore.
Right. That's correct. Their burrows tend to be right at the water line, mm-hmm. and they can go in 2 to 3 feet, and they do form somewhat of a chimney or a mound around the outside of that burrow.
Okay. Well, I got to ask you, how did it get in Germantown then?
Well, that's the, you know, question that we're trying to answer. We are not sure exactly when they came in, and we don't know how they came in. All of the residents have told us that they began seeing them around the end of June or early July, and they just sort of started appearing on people's lawns.
Oh, really?
In the water.
Oh, just going for a walk then?
Just going for a walk, yeah. These things can go 2 to 3 miles out of water and, you know, in search of a new pond if their pond that they're in dries up or, you know, becomes overpopulated and they're looking for fresh territory, so they can travel over land.
So it's possible, is it, that they have already done that to other water?
It is possible, although a part of our effort in the Germantown pond is that we're monitoring ponds and waterways around this Esquire Estates pond.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so far we have not seen any red swamp crayfish in any of those traps.
Okay. What are you doing now to control them?
Well, we have an integrated pest management plan that we're trying to develop and follow. And the first thing that we started doing was monitoring, of course, and trap and removal. So our part of our monitoring is that any that we find, we dispose of.
Mm-hmm.
We freeze them and then dispose of them. And we're also encouraging the residents that live around the pond to do the same. If they see crayfish, to stomp on them, freeze them, whatever, kill them somehow, and then dispose of them.
Well, how about if they catch them and boil them and have a crayfish boil?
Well, they could do that if they wanted to, but you have to remember that this is a stormwater runoff pond.
Ah, yes, okay. So
you have to consider the source that they've been growing in.
Probably slightly contaminated.
Probably slightly contaminated.
Okay.
There are a lot of ducks and geese on this pond, too.
Ah, okay.
So we started out, like I said, with the monitoring and the physical removal control. And the second step that we've taken so far is to erect a barrier fence around the pond that includes the inlets and outlets to the pond. And it's a material that's sort of a heavy-duty tarp material that's slippery enough that the crayfish can't climb up over it.
Ah, okay.
And we've got it stapled to the ground with some biodegradable plastic staples to keep them from sneaking under it. And that is to help to keep the crayfish from leaving the pond and going into the surrounding waters.
Okay. And then are you going to poison them eventually or what?
That would be the next step.
Mm-hmm.
We plan to do a chemical treatment to kill the crayfish. And then also we plan to draw the pond down for the winter about 4 feet so that any that are in the burrows that would not get impacted by the poison would get frozen out,
uh-huh.
because we'd be lowering that water and the frost would then get into the ground.
Okay. Well, should hunters and anglers be on the lookout for them in Washington County and surrounding areas this fall?
Yes, they should. If they see these crayfish, we've got some good pictures on our DNR website, and if they see them or think they see them, they should please give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
There are numbers that people can call that are listed on the website, or they can call any DNR office, and they'll get them in touch with the right people, because we would like to see if this thing is spreading. And the crayfish are, these things look really obvious, but there are some really fine details in order to be able to positively identify them. So we'd like to see the specimen if people are able to catch them and bring them in. That way we can make a really definite identification of the crayfish.
Okay, and all that information is somewhere on the DNR website if they would just do a search for the red swamp crayfish?
That's correct, or even just look on our invasive species page.
Okay, and I understand there's a video somewhere, too.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hope we nip this one in the bud. We haven't been too successful with other invasives, but maybe we caught this one early enough.
We sure hope so.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sue.
You're welcome.
That was Sue Beiler, Southeast District DNR Fisheries Supervisor, and this portion of our show is brought to you by Ironclads, the soft bait revolution. Soft plastic baits that act natural and won't come off the hook. On the web at buyironclads.com. We'll be back with more in just a minute. No Child Left Inside is brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental and Development, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards. On the web at balestrierigroup.com. And today for our No Child Left Inside segment, we're talking with John Hilmer, who's the founder of CAMO, K-A-M-O, which stands for Kids and Mentors Outdoors. John, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Dan?
I'm doing great today. Now, you are from Baraboo, Wisconsin. And I understand, in fact, I got a release just the other day, that you were one of six conservation heroes named by Field & Stream magazine. Now, that's quite an achievement, and congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's everybody around me that's really kicking in, and they're shining the spotlight on me, and that's what we'll go with.
Okay. Well, how did that happen? What is it that you do there that caught the attention of the folks at Field & Stream?
Well, I've been helping out with Pheasants Forever and all these other different groups, Walleyes North America, the National Wild Turkey Federation. I'm a life member of a couple other different groups. But they actually focus their basis on the CAMO group because we're trying to get some kids out there with the mentors and get them outside.
Okay. Now, so what exactly is your group all about, CAMO, Kids and Mentors Outdoors?
Well, we take a child that wants to go out and learn something about the outdoors. Doesn't matter if it's fishing, hunting, trapping, canoeing, whatever it is, photography, and we'll try to line them up with a mentor that would fit that facet of their exploration, as it were.
Uh-huh. Do you do this within the context of the DNR's Learn to Hunt programs?
That's one facet of it, yeah. We do that one-on-ones, and the Learn to Hunt is more of a scheduled program. They have to have hours of school time, you know, actual classroom time and things like that.
Right. Right. I've done that myself with the turkey program.
Isn't that a lot of fun?
Get
the kids out there.
It is great. It's more fun than shooting one yourself, actually.
Well, I know, and then you get the, usually their folks like to tag along and be our shadow, and they're usually sticking their head up. You know, what's the secret there? What's the secret?
Yeah. Making it a little more challenging for you.
Oh, yeah. The more footsteps in the woods, the less apt you are to get one.
Uh-huh. Now, you have a motto. I looked at your website. It's tradition forward. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I came up with that one. I'm one of the founders. Mark Walters is the other founder of the group. That we were sitting on Lake Winnebago one day, sturgeon spearing, and it's kind of a dead sport, as we're just looking in the icy water, as it were. And
a lot of time.
Up with that I said, well, tradition forward. I said, you know, everybody keeps talking about we're losing our tradition, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, we got to get it going forward, you know. And, hey, tradition forward. Yeah, that's good. Simple, sweet.
Well, I think a lot of great ideas have come from sturgeon spearing or ice fishing because people have too much time to think. They have a lot of time to contemplate other facets of your life besides just the project at hand to spear a sturgeon. And so you came up with that idea there. Now, Mark Walters, he's the outdoor writer with a syndicated column around the state,
correct,
right? Yeah. Yeah, I know Mark. I run into him at shows now and then.
Sure.
So tell me about your mentors. How do you choose them?
Well, we see what they like to do. You know, we want a positive attitude. We want them to show the kids the actual habitat that they're going into, whether it be a river, a lake, out in the field, into the woods, whatever it is. Not just going to a deer stand and, you know, sitting there and waiting for a deer to come out and shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to show them, you know, the food plots, how these are coming about, what's happening with them, you know, where you can look at, you know, why these runways are going, where they are going. and, you know, scrapes and things like that are always a plus, but if you don't have the habitat and the environment that you can show them, you know, when you start showing them where the deer are actually coming from and why they're actually living there and why they're feeding there at a certain time, where the bedding areas are and stuff like that, that's really a plus to get those kids out there and have, actually have them thinking about it more than they would be if you just took them out to a stand.
Mm-hmm. So they're learning something that they might be able to take forward to another hunting experience on their own.
Right. Yeah, yeah, because as you do that, you're going to intercept different types of animals and wildlife. And once you start seeing how everything kind of intermingles with each other, you know, you hear that jaybird squawking in a tree. Wait a minute, hold on, why is he squawking?
Something's going on.
Okay, now watch this here, you know. Okay,
yeah.
Now look over here, you know. And it's just great to get these kids out there, especially deer hunting, you know. With a bull, it's just that much harder,
yeah.
You know. But that's going to be a lot of fun. Last year was up in the 80s, so it wasn't a whole lot of fun. It was more like a camping trip with guns.
Mm, yeah, yeah, I know. We had some folks out last year during that hunt. Now, you're doing the youth hunt this weekend, and what other activities have you got planned?
Well, we had duck hunting last couple weekends. We've taken some kids out that really wanted to go, and they were based more in a deer hunting family, and they've never really tried waterfowling.
Uh-huh.
They're really great skeet shooters,
mm-hmm.
but when the ducks are coming in at different angles and different speeds and different, you know, altitudes and stuff, it kind of made them show that, hey, this isn't as easy as it looks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then we had a pheasant field day at a local game reserve out here, and we ended up with 16 kids at that one, and we ended up with 18 birds altogether.
Wow.
So we had a really good time that weekend.
Good, good. And I understand you have another youth deer hunt scheduled in December.
That's correct. After the 9-day, we were going to do a special one. Hopefully everybody can get involved. We're going to have at least 10 kids involved with that one. And it's just going to be hopefully a start of a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to get more and more groups going on this. But we're working with the DNR, you know, hand in hand, and we're really excited about that.
Well, I'd like to get out there for that one. I think when you and I talked.
So you're more than invited.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, we'll see if we can put that together. Now, you have a website where people can learn more about your program. What is that?
It's CamoKids, CamoKids.org.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is an organization, whether it be, you know, it's an organization. I mean, you can be a member of it or a mentor, but it's an organization of different groups. That's what I like to think of it that way.
Okay. Okay. Now, how many years have you been doing this?
Well, we started about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
So you know, that's when we first, Mark put it in the paper, hey, anybody interested? We need at least, you know, 3, 4, 5 people interested. Whoever gets a hold of me first, we'll start a chapter there. We had three people start up, one in Florence, one in Ladysmith, and one in the Baraboo River area. And then we got another one going in the Nisida area, which is called, I can't think of it right now.
Okay.
But they're the newest ones, so yeah. I can't think of them all.
So you've got four. Did I count them right? You've got four
yeah,
chapters.
Yeah, four right now, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Meadow Valley chapter.
Oh, okay, great, sure. Now, you've only been doing this for a few years, but do you have a sense of the kids you mentored continuing in the sports? Do you know
yes,
what they're doing?
I know that strongly because I see it, you know, they want to go out and do this again. They,
mm-hmm.
they see it. They're actually coming to our meetings, which are just basically just you know, trying to get fundamentals down as far as a group goes,
yeah.
You know, the logistics of it. And these kids are learning more on that aspect of it also. And then once we get out in the field, you know, I try to show them different things. As you're going to the stand, turkey hunting, especially in the morning, you know, the time of day, you know, which birds are singing, stuff like that.
Sure.
When you get out deer hunting, it's totally different. The wind directions, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're just working with the kids. I mean, even from planting trees, where there's the YEPS group, the Youth Environmental Projects of Sauk County.
Okay.
They did quite a bit this year. They're going to go back and check on the trees they planted this year, see how they did and how they're doing.
Oh, great. Great. Well, John, it sounds like you're doing great work there, and we applaud your efforts to get kids into the outdoors and your recognition by Field & Stream. I think that'll bring a little more attention to your group and to the projects you're doing, and we hope more kids join you and get outdoors.
Well, that's what it's all about, Dan. It's just getting the kids outside and having fun with them and showing them things that, you know, you can show a kid more than an hour than you can in a classroom for a month,
yeah.
is the way I see it. I mean, I can teach a kid stuff, and they might not even thinking about it, you know, for a week or two. Or all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. When John was talking about this, this is what he was talking about right here, you know.
Yep. All right. Well, great, John, and I hope I can join you in December, and I hope you have a great hunt this weekend.
Well, we'll have fun doing it either way.
Yep. All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Yep. Goodbye now.
Bye now. That was John Hilmer, founder of Kids and Mentors Outdoors. And this was No Child Left Inside, brought to you by Balistrieri Environmental and Development, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards, on the web at balistrierigroup.com. We'll be back with more right after this. Dan Small here for Wilderness Scout Hydrojet-powered canoes. I can't afford to be up a creek without a paddle, so I run a Hydrojet canoe by Wilderness Scout. Powered by a clean-burning 4-stroke engine, it cruises at 6 to 8 miles an hour for 5 hours on a gallon of gas. You saw the Wilderness Scout at all the winter sports shows. Now try one on the water. With the jet-powered Wilderness Scout, paddling is optional. Order online at northernwatersltd.com or call Brad at 920-467-3663.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad soft bait brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad soft baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535. Save time and meat when you field dress your deer or other big game with the techniques shown in a new step-by-step instructional DVD from CimarronOutdoors.com. The technique is easy to learn, it's perfect for younger hunters and women, and it works on everything from deer and antelope to moose and elk. Do it all with one small knife. There's no need to carry saws, axes, or block and tackle. Save money when you order the How to Field Dress a Deer DVD and knife together. Order today from CimarronOutdoors.com. That's CimarronOutdoors.com.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
Outdoors Radio is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, dedicated to hunting and conservation of young forest species, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And it's time to talk to Keith Warnke. He is the DNR big game ecologist. And we've talked to Keith on a number of occasions about some hot topics in the deer hunting world. And this is definitely one of those. We're going to talk to Keith here about the Earn a Buck alternative plan. And Keith, how was this developed and exactly what are people looking at?
That's a really important question, Jeff. And, you know, I think it's extremely important when you're looking at this deer season proposal that the context of this proposal is very important to understand. After 2008, Hunters attended legislative hearings and Natural Resources Board meetings, and they called for a suspension of Earnabuck. You know, the legislature got involved, sent us a letter. The Natural Resources Board complied as well, suspending the use of the Earnabuck herd management tool. In fact, the board suspended Earnabuck indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
They then appointed a special committee made up of hunters and landowners to identify acceptable and effective herd control tools that could be used as alternatives to Earnabuck. You know, this package that's out for public hearing, this package was developed by that committee and brought back to the department and the Natural Resources Board as their proposal for what could be effective. So, you know, that context is what people really need to think about this 16-day season in. And you also need to consider that it's not about a 16-day season only. It's about, in context again, an Earnabuck herd control tool or a 16-day season with accompanying additional October seasons, with a longer bow season, with bow hunting allowed, through the gun hunt. Those are all parts of this package that we are willing to trial instead of Earnabuck. That's what's going out to public hearing. So it's pretty complex, but the context is also important.
Okay, so now I just actually learned something. I actually thought that with the 16-day gun deer season, that the October hunt and the other hunts outside of that would be taken away, and it would just be the 16-day gun deer season, allowing the bow hunting season to roll through the gun deer season as well.
You are correct. Pretty much right there. The
okay.
regular deer season structure would be the 16-day hunt under this proposal, and bow hunting would roll all the way right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step, if that's not effective enough, would be to have an October herd control season
okay.
on top of that structure. You're right.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. Now, Keith, you've explained that this was a proposal put together by this group, this advisory group created, and it's not a DNR proposal. This is not something that you drew up.
This is not something that we drew up or that I drew up as part of the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
This is the proposal that came, you know, the very foundations, including the season structure, came from the Committee of Hunters and Landowners,
mm-hmm.
appointed by the board.
Okay. So we've heard some of the elements. What exactly are the elements of this plan, then, this proposal?
The elements of the proposal that's going out to public hearing are the 16-day regular gun season. Archery season will run through the regular gun hunt, the entire 16 days of it, and in herd control units, archery season will run through January 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'd have an extended bow season, a 16-day in the herd control.
Yep.
A 16-day. Now, I know that the hot topic, at least from who I was talking about, is where the 16 days is
yeah.
placed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, guys don't want to see it before the gun deer season from the people I've talked to. Now,
right.
Now I know other people have other opinions as well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, how did it come about that it was structured prior to the gun season we have now and not after?
You're right. The 16-day season in the proposal would start a week earlier than the normal gun season
mm-hmm.
does now. And that was the majority opinion of the special committee assigned by the Natural Resources Board. And, you know, they came to that opinion basically evaluating and balancing effectiveness. We can certainly see from people's reactions, for one, from car-deer collision information, for another, from kill information, for a third, you can definitely tell that deer activity is a lot better earlier in November than it would be if we were to extend the season later in November.
Mm-hmm.
If you have better deer activity, you've got hunters out there when deer are more active. Both bucks and does are more active during the rut. Hunters have a better chance of seeing a deer, they have a better chance of killing a deer, and they'll have a better, you know, there'll be a better likelihood of increased hunter satisfaction. What we've heard again and again and again is hunters are dissatisfied because they're not seeing deer.
Not seeing
and
deer.
And one,
yeah.
certainly one remedy for gun hunters to see more deer is to move it earlier. And yes, it does interfere somewhat with the rut. We realize that it moves gun hunting into the rut. But you know, if you look at deer activity charts and deer car kills, generally it seems it moves it into the rut, but the most active deer times are still, the majority of the rut is still exclusively open only to bow hunting.
Now, I got to ask this, I guess playing the devil's advocate.
Sure.
Would this really be something wise, I guess you could ask, to initiate where you're looking at the northern part of Wisconsin already, people complaining about the deer numbers being so low?
Yeah.
Understandably, the activity level is much higher. Okay, so you can assume that your kill would be much higher. Is that something really that you think people are going to agree with initiating in places that the deer herd is already diminished?
Yeah, that is definitely an issue that people bring up. And the truth of the matter is, in the northern parts of Wisconsin, where we're already at, you know, deer herds below goal densities or around goal densities, we're not concerned about this season structure over-harvesting deer at all. Because in that part of the state, we already regulate antlerless deer harvest through a variable quota permit issuance system. So we are still, and this year is a prime example of that, we're still able, regardless of the length of the deer hunting season, we are still able to manage the, you know, biologically manage or biologically limit the number of antlerless deer that are killed and allow deer populations to grow. If you're looking at season length dates, it's certainly, or season lengths, certainly aren't going to threaten the buck populations. Minnesota and Michigan have had 16-day seasons for a long time. Good, healthy, strong, robust deer populations, big bucks coming out of there. So from a population or from a biological perspective, we still have all the confidence in the world that we can manage with 16 days just the same as 9 days.
Mm-hmm. You're not concerned that a lot of hunting, gun hunting pressure during the rut might disrupt deer breeding?
No, not concerned with that. In fact, if you go back, you know, years and years and years into season records and into Minnesota's season records, Minnesota's gun deer hunt in at least a third of the state opens 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah, it opens like the 8th or 10th.
November 7th it opens this year.
Yeah.
Their breeding isn't interrupted. Our breeding isn't interrupted. Hunting with both gun and bow has been occurring during the breeding season for deer for decades and decades and decades. And look, you know, the deer are going to find a way. Deer are going to find a way to breed. Their breeding season is so short that they can be out there for, at that time of the year, a good 10, 12, 14 hours of the day when it's not light and you can't be hunting, and they'll get their breeding done then.
Sure.
It's just like we were talking about this Texas study, you know, the bucks breed, old bucks, young bucks, big bucks, small bucks, because, you know, in the wild woods of Wisconsin, there you absolutely cannot stop them when it's breeding season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you mentioned hearings. These hearings start soon. How many, where, when? How do we find out about them?
We have 11 hearings scheduled throughout the state. You can find out about them on the DNR website. In fact, you could put a link there to them if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They start October 14th, and the last hearing is on November 3rd. During that period, too, for people who can't get to a hearing, we will have a button on the homepage of the DNR website that will, you push that button and you'll be allowed to comment on these rule proposals, and that is considered just the same way as written comments from public hearings are.
Now then, what is the process? So you say that people can comment on, so this isn't a voting type of deal. This is, you can say whether you like it or not, but
yep.
Who really gets to make the decision whether this gets implemented?
That's right. This is definitely not voting. We're out collecting public comment and public input and trying to get as much of that as we can. And when all of this input comes back, we'll summarize it. It'll inform us on what people have said. We'll summarize the comments, categorize comments, hopefully, and we'll take that to our administrators with a recommendation as to what to forward for a final adoption by the Natural Resources Board. And the board then will be considering final adoption at their December meeting, and the public, again, will have a chance to appear in front of the Natural Resources Board at their December meeting. Whatever the board adopts, whatever changes the board adopts, will be reviewed by the legislature early next year before finally being implemented.
Okay, so this won't be part of the spring hearings or nothing that the
right.
public will have a chance to vote on, per se. This will just be, they'll be able to comment a couple more times about it.
Yep, right. Public okay. hearings are a place to collect comments and public inputs. They're never really intended to be a vote.
Okay.
Okay. Did you see Pat Durkin's column in the October 2nd issue of Wisconsin Outdoor News?
I'm sure I did. Which one was
okay,
it?
Okay, well, he says that this proposal isn't going to work, and it's going to end up that hunters will be just so disappointed with this that they'll just welcome Ernebuck with open arms and be real happy with the situation that they rejected already.
Well, you know, the Ernebuck season structure came about as a result of the Deer 2000
right.
massive stakeholder process, so it wouldn't be all that surprising, would it? I mean, deer hunters in the past have considered a 16-day season and in the past have rejected it
mm-hmm.
and pushed forward Ernebuck as their alternative.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Pat's comments really were more kind of like, stop the world, I want to
yeah,
get off.
Basically,
you know?
Yeah.
Let's end this merry-go-round.
Yeah, he was saying,
let's
manage deer. And speaking of managing deer, to change the subject real quick, the youth hunt is going on this weekend. How do you
yeah.
think that's going to go?
Participation in youth hunt is pretty light generally. You know, now we have this new 10-year-old mentoring bill, which is a great thing because my oldest daughter is 10, and she is fired up to go deer hunting.
Great.
From a personal standpoint, it's going to be wonderful. I think from a deer management standpoint, hopefully it recruits a few new people into the sport, but it's generally fairly lightly participated.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Participated in.
All right, Keith. Well, thank you for answering some questions, and I'm sure in the next number of months we'll have some more questions for you.
Yeah, I'd love to be on anytime.
All righty. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. That was Keith Warnke, DNR Big Game Ecologist, brought to you by the Rough Grouse Society, dedicated to hunting and conservation of young forest species, on the web at roughgrousesociety.org. We'll be back with more Outdoors Radio with Dan Small next.
For the nonprofit Rough Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Save time and meat when you field dress your deer or other big game with the techniques shown in a new step-by-step instructional DVD from CimarronOutdoors.com. The technique is easy to learn, it's perfect for younger hunters and women, and it works on everything from deer and antelope to moose and elk. Do it all with one small knife. There's no need to carry saws, axes, or block and tackle. Save money when you order the How to Field Dress a Deer DVD and knife together. Order today from CimarronOutdoors.com. That's CimarronOutdoors.com.
Looking for a place to hunt? Roger B's Hunter's Guide covers all of Wisconsin in 10 volumes with detailed maps that show all federal, state, and county land open to hunting, plus private land open to hunting under the Forest Crop Law. Find land where you can hunt deer, turkeys, or small game this season. DanSmallOutdoors.com has the best price you'll find anywhere on Hunter's Guides. That's DanSmallOutdoors.com. Click on Dan's Mall to order your Hunter's Guide today and find land where you can hunt this season.
Cedar Creek Motorsports, a Times Right for a Honda model year-end event. Right now, we've got great deals on every Honda in our showroom, especially ATVs. Like an 07 Rancher 420 ES with fuel injection and electric shift. MSRP was $46.99, but you can get yours today for an incredible $32.99. Get Honda, best on earth, and our low price guarantee during the Honda model year-end event at Cedar Creek Motorsports, Highway 60 in Cedarburg. I recommend taking these only for under 16 years old. All ATV riders take a training course.
Fishing season is officially underway,
but it's hard to have fun on the water if you don't have a boat. Now's the time to come to Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. Hi, this is Al from Cedar Lake Sales. Whether you prefer trolling, jigging, or casting, Crestliner, powered by a Mercury outboard, will elevate your fishing experience. Check out the Crestliner Raptor Series, the Fishhawk Series, and many more. Combine that with a gas-sipping, quiet, dependable Mercury outboard, and you'll be set for a day of fishing. Stop in and ask me how you can save up to $2,100 on a Crestliner right now. We've even got a couple of new non-current 08s left and a nice selection of used boats priced right and all include warranties. Cedar Lake Sales has the boat or pontoon you need. Crestliner. And with the power of a Mercury outboard, you'll get there quickly and safely. Big value, real service, and the boat you've been waiting for. Right now at Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 West Bend, or fish the net at cedarlakesales.com.
Outdoors Radio Events Calendar is brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Now is the time we find out what's coming up on Outdoor Wisconsin this next week.
Well, Jeff, next week, Thursday the 15th, which is my birthday, by the way, Andy Morton of the DNR and Tom Deal of the Tommy Bartlett Water Ski Show and Paul Werner of Lake Delton Village Engineering are going to look at repairs on Lake Delton after the flood disaster from last year. I'll join them for that. I'll also fish with my brothers, my son John, and my cousin Brad at the University of Esox up in Hayward. We taped that last fall. Great musky outing. We caught some fish and had a lot of fun. And our archival segment from 2004, we have our good friend Jeff Kahlo of Fond du Lac, the creator of Big Guy Hats, with one of my favorite hats, a cow hat with a six-pack. Imagine that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, a couple other events to let you know about. Walleyes Unlimited will meet on Thursday, October 14th at 7 o'clock. At the Root River Lanes in Rawson Avenue in Franklin. Doug Schreiber will talk about fall strategies for Green Bay smallmouths. Cost to non-members is $5. And the Root River Steelhead Facility in Lincoln Park in Racine will host an open house next Saturday, October 17th from 9 to 3. The open house will feature tours of the facility, casting lessons, knot tying, fly tying, boating safety, and interactive fishing demonstrations. More information is available on the DNR's website. That's dnr.wi.gov.
And if you're heading up north, or if you're already up in the area of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the Fall Sports Show will be going on at Island Resort in Casino October 17th and 18th, and the casino is located at the intersection of U.S. Highways 2 and 41 in Harris, Michigan. So just head north from Green Bay on 41, and you can't miss it. Retail exhibitors, seminars, activities related to hunting and fishing and outdoor recreation, all kinds of good stuff. Best part, admission and parking are absolutely free. For more information, go online at fishingboatingoutdoor.com.
And the Department of Natural Resources Sandhill Wildlife Area, you'll be able to view some sandhill cranes coming through. That's October 24th from 3 to 7. It's $15 a person. You got to be registered by October 16th. If you want more information, contact Dick Thiel at Sandhill Wildlife Area, 715-884-2437.
The Rough Grouse Society has some events coming up. Banquets in Park Falls, Wisconsin on October 15th, in Petoskey, Michigan on the 16th, and in Ely, Minnesota on the 22nd. For details and more events, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org. And don't forget the public hearings on the Ernebuck alternative around the state will start on October 14th, and that also is the start date for a series of hearings on the stewardship proposal regarding activities that would be allowed on land bought with the Nelson Knowles stewardship money. So all of that information you can find on the DNR website, or you can comment online on that website as well at dnr.wi.gov.
I would suggest you get involved somehow, some way.
Absolutely.
Hunting seasons to let you know about. October 13th, bear season closes. October 15th through the 18th, there's that antlerless season that runs in the CWD zones and most of the herd control units. October 17th, the southern zone duck season reopens. And the big one, a lot of guys concentrating on this.
Absolutely.
Pheasant season opens on the 17th of October at noon.
At noon, yes. Well, if you missed any of those dates, websites, or phone numbers, Jeff, how do we find out about that?
Well, we get to your website if they'd like.
That's
the best place. DanSmallOutdoors.com.
Sure.
You can hear us on LakeLink 24/7. It's lake-link.com/radio. Or you can check us out on Facebook. It's just search our title of our show. It's Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Or check us out, DS Outdoors, at Twitter.com.
Well, our show has been brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. And by Forge Bow, makers of great bows at affordable prices, available at more than 40 archery pro shops around Wisconsin. Call the Forge Bow Pro Shop in New Berlin at 414-732-7400 to find a dealer near you. More information on the web at forgebow.com. Here with Jeff Kelm, I'm Dan Small. Join us again next week and get outdoors. Enjoy the weekend. When the world
coffee can, honey. I'll be